We're doing the book of Shmuel, and we had learned how Avshalom had arranged a fantastic rebellion. He had the masses behind him, and Achitophel had advised him to take forcibly his father's wives that he left behind, his father's concubines, and he took them publicly on a tent on the rooftop to show everyone that he would never make up with his father again. And then Achitophel says, let me take 12,000 men and attack. And that advice was the best advice in the world. Had Achitophel done that, David wouldn't have sustained the blow, and the rebellion would have been successful. But David had wisely sent Hushai Ha'arki back, and Hushai gave advice to Avshalom, saying, no, you can't afford to go to war right away. If the masses hear that you've lost even a slight loss at this time, then you'll lose your backing. Word will spread. Look at how Avshalom can't stand up to his father. And believe me, he's quite a warrior. We all know your father's reputation. He's going to be prepared for you, and he'll ambush you, and that'll ruin your reputation and ruin your whole rebellion. You prepare right now. The people of Israel are uniting behind you. Get together a tremendous force, and then he'll have nowhere to go. You'll take him down wherever he is. And although Achitophel's advice was the correct advice, Hushai was there just to cause Avshalom to lose, but God had commanded that Achitophel would not succeed. Hushai sends word to David with Tzadok and Eviatar, and Tzadok and Eviatar send their children to tell David, you have to run tonight, because you might be destroyed, you and your nation. And so their two sons, Yonatan and Achimatz, they go out to tell David. And Yonatan and Achimatz got word from the maid. They were standing out where they used to do the laundry. And a lad saw them and told Avshalom. And so Avshalom sent his men to catch Yonatan and Achimatz. And they were running. They came to a yard where there was a well. And the woman in the yard was interested in helping them. They climbed down the well, and she put a blanket, she put a tablecloth over the well, and she put some fresh loaves of bread on top of the blanket, on top of the tablecloth. So it looked like there was a table there with bread on top. And so when the king's men came to the yard, they searched and they asked her, where are the young men who came here, Achimatz and Yonatan? And she says, oh, they passed down yonder. And so they continued their search. They couldn't find them, and they returned to Jerusalem empty-handed. After they returned, Yonatan and Achimatz climbed out of the well and continued their journey to David. And they warned David, you have to run because Achitophel gave advice to attack right now. And so David and his men crossed the Jordan, and all night long they traveled. When Achitophel saw that his advice was not heeded, Achitophel realized it was all over. He was so brilliant. Although Avshalom is getting more and more powerful, he realized it's over. Avshalom is not going to win. If he didn't win now, then it's over. Achitophel, Chazal say, he saw a vision that he was destined to greatness, that he was destined to the throne. His vision was correct, just slightly inaccurate. It was to be his grandson, his great-grandson, Solomon, who would take the throne and rule the world. Achitophel misinterpreted the vision and thought it would be himself. He's not the first person to err that way. Korach made the same error. Korach saw a vision that he was greater than Moshe and Aaron. That's true. His descendant, Shmuel, was greater than Moshe and Aaron. Korach saw that he would not lose his future by fighting Moshe and Aaron. He was right. His children lived. He did not. When people try to make moves based on what they see in the future, they can very often err. If it isn't the prophet that's explaining to them, then the visions they see, be it in a dream or some other form of vision, can often be inaccurate. And that's what happened to Achitophel. Achitophel went back home. He ordered his whole family, and he left his last will and testament and hung himself, committed suicide. We have a tradition that Achitophel does not have a portion in the world to come. He is one of the people who who do not have a portion in the world to come. That Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek la'olam haba, all of Israel has a portion in the world to come, continues and says, Ve'elu she'en lehem chelek la'olam haba. And the following people will not have a portion in the world to come. And then it goes in the order of Aleph Beis. Achitofel is number one. Aleph, Achitofel. So Achitofel commits suicide and is buried. He doesn't have to wait to see the outcome. He knows that Avshalom is going to lose. David came to Machanaim, and Avshalom crosses the Jordan, and he has a tremendous army. The wording of the pasuk is he has all of Israel with him. Obviously, that's an exaggeration. Avshalom appoints Amasa as chief general, and they're prepared for war. David is approached by many friends who have come from all around to bring him food and help him with the war. And David divides his army between Yoav and his brother Avishai and Ittai Agiti. Remember Ittai? David encouraged him not to come. Ittai said, I'm not leaving you. So he has three armies, and as the king prepares them for war, he says, I will go with you. And the nation says, no, because the only one they want to kill is you. No one's interested in fighting the rest of us. You can't go to war when everyone's focused on just killing you. You're going to be much better for us than a fortified city. And Chazal say, they were saying, your prayer is better for us than your joining us at war. And the king says, okay, I will do as is good in your eyes. And he stands there at the gate as everyone leaves. And David purposely orders the generals, as they're going out to war, he says, for my sake, don't harm the child of Shalom. He's 40 years old. But David calls him the Nar, the lad of Shalom. And David purposely orders this as all the nation hears. They go out to war, and David's men are victorious. 20,000 Jews fall from the Israeli side. And the pasuk describes that the forest over there consumed people more than the war did. There's a discussion among Chazal, what was where did this forest come from? Since when's there a forest there? But at any rate, David's men are victorious. The wild animals of the forest join in the fight, and you have lions and tigers and bears attacking the Israeli side, and you had more people being killed by the wild animals of the forest than you did by David's men. So Hashem is clearly on David's side. And Avshalom was riding his mule, and the mule passed under, the pasuk calls it Sovech Ha'ela, some kind of tree that had branches sticking out. And remember, Avshalom had this beautiful locks of hair hanging down, and his hair gets caught in the tree. And he's hanging. The mule keeps riding, and Avshalom is left hanging there. So one of David's men goes out and tells Yoav, he says, I saw Avshalom hanging in the tree. And Yoav tells the man, good thing you saw him. Why didn't you kill him? I would have given you 10 silver coins and a new belt. So the man says, hey, if I would have had in my hands 1,000 silver coins, I wouldn't have taken it. Now you're telling me, had I done it, you would have given me. Right, okay. But even if I would have had the money cash on delivery, if I would have had the money in my hands, I wouldn't have done it. He is the king's son, and I heard the king order us, you, Avishai and Ittai, watch over my son Avshalom. I'd be killing myself. It would be suicide. The king's going to find out. And then you'd be standing on the side just watching as I'd be getting killed. And Yoav says, that's not true. I'm not going to ask you anymore. I'll show you. And Yoav himself takes three spears to kill Avshalom. Chazal discussed, why did Avshalom stay hanging there midair? Why didn't he just take a sword, cut off his hair, and keep running? So Chazal say that Hashem had perdition open under him. So he's hanging there by his hair, and he sees perdition hanging under him. He realizes he's going there. So what's he going to do? So he remains hanging. He doesn't want to cut himself down. He doesn't want to fall down there. And Avshalom rides up to, and Yoav rides up to Avshalom. Remember, Yoav is his cousin. Avshalom is David's son. Yoav is the son of David's sister, Tzruya. Yoav rides up to him, and he takes the three spears, and he sticks them into his heart. And Avshalom is still alive, hanging there with three spears in his heart. Chazal say, why did he get three spears in his heart? Because he stole three hearts. The heart of his father, the heart of the people of Israel, and the heart of the elders. Remember the Sanhedrin? He fooled them. And so Yoav had his 10 lads surround Avshalom and beat him till he was dead. So Avshalom is dead. Now that Avshalom is dead, well, the war is over. So Yoav blows his shofar and he calls his men back. Although had the war continued, more people of Israel would have been killed. Yoav isn't interested in that. He doesn't want the people killing their own brethren. They took Avshalom and they brought him to the forest. They put him in some hole and they built a huge pile of stones over him. And the people of Israel all ran back as losers back to their tents. Achimatz, remember Achimatz is the one who came and told David the news that he has to run. So Achimatz tells Yoav, let me run and tell the king that Hashem has saved him from his enemies. And Yoav says, today's not a good day for you to give news. You want to run, I'll send you on a different day. It'll be better news. Today you shouldn't give the news because you know the king's son died today. It's a nice way of wording it. He died today, yes. So Yoav calls a man over there. The Navi calls him a Kushi, which the simple understanding is he was a black servant that was there. And he tells him, go tell the king what you've seen. And so the man bows. He thinks that he's very fortunate. He's very lucky. He's going to give the king good news. Things are going to be great for him. Maybe the king will reward him for all the good news. And so he runs. He wants to be the first to give the king word of the victory. And Achimatz is insistent and he says, whatever it will be, let me also go. And Yoav tells him, why do you want to run, son? Believe me, the king doesn't want the news you're going to give him. And Achimatz is insistent. He says, nonetheless, let me run. And so Yoav says, fine. You want her to go? Go. And Achimatz runs. Vayavor et haKushi. He passes. He comes from behind and he passes the Kushi. It's a quick runner. And he's going to tell David. David was sitting at the gates. And the lookout on the roof tells him, I see a man running alone. So the king says, okay, if he's running alone, he must be coming to give news. So the lookout says, I see another man running alone now. So the king says, that must be another person with news. So the lookout says, I see the first one running, looks like Achimatz. So the king says, he's a good man. I'm sure he's here with good news. Achimatz, from a distance, calls out to the king and he says, peace. And the king bows. And he says, blessed is Hashem who gave over the men who wanted to take your life. Blessed is Hashem who gave them over into your hands. And what is David's first response? David says, is everything okay with Avshalom? Achimad says, well, I saw everyone getting ready and Yoav was going to send a messenger and I didn't know exactly what happened, so I ran before I heard all the news. He doesn't want to tell the king. Now he realizes Yoav was right. As important as the war was, David's own life was in danger. David was also interested in his son. And if we think about it, there's good reason. It's not only that Avshalom was his son, on some level, this was part of the decree that David brought upon himself. When David sinned with Bathsheba, so the Navi came and told him the famous allegory about the man and the sheep, and David said he will pay four times, and David, to an extent, really brought this upon himself with his sin and then his declaration of how he should be punished. So on some level, David holds himself accountable for what's going to happen with Avshalom. Although Avshalom had free will, he didn't have to be the one to enter this whole story. But nonetheless, there's an element where David doesn't want Avshalom to die this way. So David, when he hears the war is over, his first question is, how's Avshalom doing? And Achimatz says, well, I don't know, everything was all ruckus there then. And the king says, okay, so stand, let's hear the news. And the Cushi comes, and he says, may my master the king hear good news like today that Hashem has taken revenge from all those who have risen against you. And the king says, is peace with the land of Shalom. And the Cushi says, may all your enemies be like him and all who dare come upon you for bad. And the king gets all upset. David HaMelech gets angry. And he goes up the steps above the gates and he weeps and he yells and says, my son Avshalom, my son Avshalom, I wish I would die instead of you. Avshalom, my son. 8 times he says the name, my son. 8 times he declares he is my son. Chazal say, each time he said it, he raised Avshalom from one level of perdition. There are 7 levels in perdition. David, in his weeping and in his praying, every time he says Avshalom, he raises him one notch. And the 8th time brings him into the world to come.
What's the Hebrew word for
perdition? Geinom. Yoav has just led a fantastic victory. And he comes back and he hears that the king is weeping and mourning over Avshalom. And everyone who was on the victorious side, all of David's men, crept back into the camp like losers. They were all embarrassed. People were walking back into the camp as though they were embarrassed of what they had just done at war. And David wrapped his face the way mourners do. In ancient times, mourners would wrap their faces like the Muslims do today. So in ancient times, in mourning, people would wrap their face. And David wrapped his faces, wailing, my son, Avshalom, Avshalom, my son, my son. David is walking, wailing, and crying. And Yoav comes into David's house. And Yoav tells him, today you have embarrassed everyone of your servants. We all saved your life today. We saved the lives of your other children. We saved the lives of your wife. We saved the lives of your concubines. And you love your enemy, mourn over his death, and you hate those who love you. Because what you're declaring today, in your mourning, you're declaring that if all of us would be dead, if all your officers and servants, and all of us would be dead, but Avshalom were alive, then you'd be okay with it. Now get out there and talk to the people. That's a nephew talking to his uncle, the king. But that's the chief general who risked his life for David. Now get up, go out, and talk to the people. Talk to them and appease them. Because I swear by Hashem that if you don't go out to them tonight, I will leave you, and I will ensure that no one stays with you tonight. And believe me, what's going to happen next is going to be worse for you than everything else that ever happened to you in your life. We'll pick up here. Nah, we got to pick up on a good note. Okay, so David goes out, sitting by the gate, and he's there to thank the people who risked their lives on his behalf. And so there's an appeasement between David and the people who had just been victorious. And next week we'll begin with how the people of Israel reinstate David, and that will bring us to the conclusion of the book of Shmuel. Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll finish the book of Shmuel and perhaps start the book of Melachim, and Yemir Tzashem to be continued.